Honorable members, good morning. I know we've been away now. Honorable members are still greeting, and even myself, I'm still trying to take, I do take some orders from my DG. Because none of who is here or who's not here, not political decisions. He's accounting to us. So minister and deputy minister are not going to be with us. They do have cabinet meeting. But I'm telling him that it's not always compulsory that they must be here, especially if the DG is here. So I'm suspecting we do take that apology. Honorable Mhlongo, I'm just greeting you all, and I'm telling the meeting that Minister and Deputy Minister, they are in the Cabinet Committee meeting, but sometimes we don't always want them, but they were willing to be with us. But we are safe and sound if our DG is with us and we know where they are. Let me take this opportunity to greet you all, especially our visitors and the honorable members. We are back after past weeks, and I'm suspecting I'm still going to chair this committee. I'm convinced that I'm still.
What are you telling us, Jack?
No, we left us. We left our. What do you call oversight? We were in a bad state. DG, we had to cancel the trip. I couldn't chair the last meeting of the trip because of the bereavement of our comrades and our leaders and our members. But some of us, our clans did tell us what is going on. I woke up feeling that something bad is going to happen. And they were all surprised in the morning. And when we were driven by these drivers, I was saying that you were supposed to look the venue before you go to bed. Look now, the way that we are speeding, we are getting lost. Even in the first day, they couldn't know where we were going. And the way that they were taking the U-turn with us, three kumbis, I felt that I'm not comfortable today. I was saying, no wonder, what's going on? May his soul rest in peace, our colleague, our member of parliament. Hey, that one. I was thinking that he was doing this thing to me alone. Every day when he passes you, he'll say, morning, chairperson, morning, my leader. How are you? Is everything well at home? And I've heard everybody was commenting he was doing that. My language is saying that isitya esihle asidleli. You know what, we have got people who are drunkards, cannot go to work because they are detected. We've got those who rape the women and the kids and the elders. We have got those who took drugs, but they are still with us doing all those evil things. But the person like that one, I'm not forgetting that we do have another member who was very sick, pass on. But this one, at his age, we're looking that this is our leader. You know what? Some of us, we have some members and leaders who are younger than our good selves, were still young at heart, were thinking that when we are looking at them, we'll be living a good generation. Let's have a silent of moment again. May their soul rest in peace. Thank you. That's why I'm saying I'm still going to be your chairperson today. I've seen that you, some, they were thinking about other things. Because on the last meeting, I couldn't. I had to be taken to the doctors. And fortunately for themselves, I've told that I cannot sleep. You can put these two injections. You can give me these tablets. Even the Vilaim, I can't sleep. That's the problem of me. I know why. I can't sleep with anything. You can drag me. I cannot. But thank you to honorable members that by that time they continue with the work. But I've seen that I don't think they were doing well, because they were about all of our members of parliament involved in that accident. And thank you to the leadership that, whilst I was still not myself, took a decision that we cancel the trip. We were supposed to drive to Mossel Bay. By that time, we were all in pains. Here we are, those who had a chance to go to bury him. We have seen the in the TV, really. May his soul rest in peace. DG Morning, with whoever you are with from the department, sometimes it's nice when we call these entities that a department must be with us, minister or the DG. I'm saying this, even the minister, sometimes they are taking briefing from DG, like myself. If ministers are not around, I know that we are in the safe hands. Welcome, Volleyball South Africa. I'm aware that I was a little bit concerned when some of people I heard that they've resigned, whilst when they were here, they were putting a good picture of assisting Volleyball South Africa. But I'm seeing that we have also capable members. When I'm looking here, I'm seeing that Mr. Anton Mokoena is the president, Mr. Reddy, deputy president, Mr. Mabeka, manager, Mr. Makubela, secretary general. This is Women's Month. I must tell you that, what is wrong with you, South Africans? What is wrong with you? Do you think that there were no women, that they were capable? because I was not part of the what you call people who were putting you, unless there is an apology. I know that we are volunteers. Do you think that women were so busy that we cannot volunteer in this volleyball? It's a big question to me. We want to see our role, not to be left in the kitchen to cook. But if it's about us that we don't avail ourselves, maybe I must not blame you, but I must see that I'm seeing umzwenziso. Can the president take us through? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Anthony Kamohelo Mokwena. I'm the new president of Volleyball South Africa, starting last year in September. I wish to thank the committee for inviting us to this meeting. And firstly, let me introduce the entourage that I'm with. Next to me here is our Secretary General, Mr. Michael Makubela, and then my Vice President on my right, Mr. Greba Reddy, and then the Office Manager, Mr. Thierry Mabeka. Chairperson, we have women on our Executive Committee. We have three women that are serving on our Executive Committee. Unfortunately, due to work constraints, they couldn't be part of ourselves today. Also, we are, Chairperson, you are right, the main structure of the Federation, you can see the management committee, there is no woman, but this is being addressed due to amendments that should be done on the Constitution itself, so that we can make sure, instill that in the management committee, women must be part and parcel of that. It should be enforced. But we couldn't do it without amending the Constitution. So that is work in progress that we are dealing with. It's a concern. I'm also a member of the sports councils. We have amended our Constitution that if one is the president, the other should be a vice president, men, female and male. So we are addressing the concern, Chairperson. Chairperson, we are going to do a presentation today concerning the request and the tasking that was given to us to come and explain to the committee how are we going to utilize the allocation that has been given to volleyball. And I will, as a manager of the project, I will hand over to the secretary, to the general secretary, to lead us in presenting the presentation as requested by the committee. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thanks, President. Good morning, honorable members. We prepared a PowerPoint presentation. I'm not sure if we should. In terms of the brief that we got was to prepare a presentation based on governance, transformation, financial performance, development programs, and of course the once-off allocation of 10 million as to how we're going to use it. So the presentation will cover that the content. So basically, Volleyball South Africa is the governing body of volleyball in South Africa. We are involved in running various programs, both in indoor and beach volleyball. And we provide South African citizens with fair and equal access to participation and personal growth through recreational, competitive, elite, institutional, administrative, coaching, and officiating programs. So our primary focus or goal is to promote and develop volleyball at all levels throughout all nine provinces in South Africa. As is, most of our programs are funded and supported by the Sports and Recreation South Africa and National Lotteries Commission. We unfortunately do not have a sponsor. In terms of the strategic framework We'll be looking at the vision, mission, and values of the organization. Our vision is to transform into an organization leading the growth of volleyball in South Africa by inspiring our nation through a passion of the game. And in terms of the mission, we developing a value system that is representative of Rainbow Nation. We want to become a top-class professional volleyball organization in the world and in Africa. We want to transform into a world-class game skills. We develop world-class management and customer service skills, developing world-class strategic alliances, sustaining a coaching philosophy based on positive reinforcement, encouragement, motivation, while providing a disciplined environment and enhancing the marketability of the organization. Our values include honesty, integrity, accountability, excellency, leadership, and they are participant-centered. So in terms of the stakeholders, our stakeholders include players, schools, and participants, SASCOC in terms of good governance, the Department of Sports and Recreation South Africa in terms of the National Sports and Recreation Plan. FIVB is our world body. CAVB is our African body. We also engage with Provincial Department of Sports and Rec. We also have associate members in terms of your South African National Defense Force, Correctional Services, SABS, school sport, USA, university sport. In terms of our governance structure, we've got a 5-member committee, which is inclusive of president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and the manager in the office. And we also have executive committee members, which has 13 members, including of transformation, development, PR, schools, and technical. And our general council is inclusive of secretaries and presidents from various provincial affiliates, including our associate members. Our financial performance for the past 2 years has really been on the red. We've been having serious net losses, primarily because we are dependent on grants from Sports and Recreation South Africa and National Lotteries Commission. So what happened is in the last 3 years, we got grants from National Lotteries Commission. However, the grants were not dispersed into our account. They only dispersed during last month. So we're expecting our financial position to improve when we do our audits in this financial year. So in terms of the sources of income, like I alluded, we have 70% coming from the National Lotteries Commission and 25% of the grants coming from the Sports and Recreation South Africa. And then 5% is made of participation fees that we get from teams that are participating in our national tournaments. So our expenditure, 60% is spent on development, about 15% on operations, 10% on national competitions, and 15% on international participation. In terms of transformation, to this end, we have had three transformation audits. They were completed and published. Audits were done in 14, 15, 15, 16, 16, 17 financial years, probing our transformation status. So in terms of the latest, the 2015-16 report was presented to the minister, which comprised of two parts. The first part was the previous report reflecting the transformation status, and the second part was consisting of federation-specific data packages. We have observed all transformation reports that were made on EPG, and we have consolidated. We have this year been included in the memorandum of agreement with the Minister of Sport in terms of the barometer, the transformation barometer. And there were observations that were done on the EPG. And the critical ones in terms of our interventions were club development programs in rural areas. And currently we run development programs concentrating on rural areas. Like the chairperson has alluded, it was also observed that there is lack of women participation in the sporting code, especially in terms of leadership position. So we are for the advancement of women leadership. We are currently in the process of amending our constitution so that it's inclusive of women participation. In terms of the previous administration, I think they had one woman on their executive committee. But we currently have about three women on our executive committee, which translates to about 20%, 27%. The whole plan is to have women inclusion up to 50% by 2019. And hence, we have requested for the amendment of the constitution. We are currently enhancing and streamlining our school programs. We, with the assistance of the school structures, we have now concluded the school structure constitution. They will be going for their national election for their national body. We are currently helping them so that we are able to streamline the school school sports programs. In terms of participation of national teams in international competitions, we mostly participate in beach volleyball internationally, primarily because it's cheaper to participate with beach volleyball as not many people are involved. In terms of the indoor volleyball, it has been a struggle, but we do have national camps on a semester basis for our national teams, especially the junior teams. We are also supporting our provincial affiliates by capacity building programs in terms of your technical officiating, coaching, and refereeing. This year we have also included administrative support. Our development programs are currently running in six provinces, namely Limpopo, Northwest, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Free State, and Eastern Cape. Basically, the objectives of the programs are to introduce volleyball skills, provide schools and clubs with equipment, increase number of interest in participants, and capacitation of technical officials, administrators, and coaches. The reason we run programs in six provinces is primarily because of financial constraints, and we're basically looking at provinces that are not really developed in terms of the game. through the support of Sports and Recreation South Africa by providing resources, we were able to participate at the BRICS Games this year at Guangzhou, China. Our under 20 girls, a delegation of 18, went to China to participate with the likes of Russia, Brazil, China, and India. We could see through the participation that we really, really lagging behind, especially in terms of the international trend. So how we intend using the once off allocation of 10 million, we were happy to be announced as the 2017 spot of the year by the minister. This is growing excitement for the sport in the country. We intend launching a new volleyball league in October. The league itself will comprise of indoor volleyball for males and then beach volleyball for both males and females. We have had a lot of interaction with the Sports and Recreation South Africa in terms of how we're going to use the funds, especially for the league. So in terms of the strategic framework for the league, our vision in terms of the league is to is to establish a national volleyball league as a sustainable, viable, growing and profitable professional entity which delivers an above average return on investment for all stakeholders in South Africa. So basically we want to use the league to become a financial sustainable entity. So the National Volleyball League aims to promote the establishment of a semi-professional volleyball competition which will contribute towards building a competitive national team ready to compete on the continent and abroad, ensure a sustainable revenue stream for Volleyball South Africa to enable it to pursue grassroots development of volleyball in South Africa and to finance junior teams, provide aspirant professional players with exciting career opportunities, contribute towards developing the game in every region and country, including urban and rural areas, create added value for our business partners and shareholders, maximize the exposure of volleyball in South Africa, Africa and abroad, allow young South African talents to reach recognition. And the aims and objectives of the league would then be to improve provincial talent, identify talent from all age groups, provide a platform for provinces to launch provincial leagues and sustain them, use the National Volleyball League event as an indicator for players to qualify for national and ultimately international participation. So our proposal for the National Volleyball League include governance, the launching and closing ceremonies, team compositions, teams, format of the league, length of the season, marketing and communication, budgetary requirements. We also have the sample schedule and the partnerships that we intend getting into. So in terms of the governance structure, we have decided to our governance, the board will be established to direct the operations and administration of the league. Governance of the semi-professional league is important to ensure that there's transparency, competition, value for South Africa, Volleyball South Africa, its partners and players. The board will comprise of executive committee members. The proposed governance structure is as follows. We'll have the Volleyball South Africa board. We'll have a project manager to oversee the league. Underneath the project manager, you'll have logistics, finance. We intend outsourcing marketing and communication so that we get maximum value out of the whole National Volleyball League. Your technical indoor and beach volleyball, and of course, your provincial proxies from all 9 provinces. So we'll have a launch ceremony where media and relevant stakeholders will be invited for the launch of the league. Members of the media, VSA, SRC, and other eminent persons will be invited to celebrate the birth and launch of the National Volleyball League. So in terms of the closing ceremony is an event which will be used as the official closing of the National Volleyball League to crown the champions through giving them medals at the closing ceremony. So we'll have the National Beach Volleyball Teams competition. We'll have 8 female teams participating and 6 male teams participating in the beach section. The beach teams will be selected based on the 2016-17 beach volleyball rankings. A maximum of 30 players will be registered with the National Volleyball League. They will be provided with the necessary kit and to ensure that they participate. And in terms of the indoor league will compose of all 9 provinces with their provincial teams. The provincial structures will be responsible for putting together the strongest indoor volleyball team and register them with the National Volleyball League. A maximum of 18 players for provinces will be registered with National Volleyball League, but at any time only 12 players will be allowed to travel. The NVL will provide the 9 teams with the necessary support to ensure that they participate. So like I indicated, in terms of the females and the male beach volleyball teams, will use last year's rankings, but it will ensure that it's inclusive of geographical representation and, of course, transformation. The indoor teams will be the 9 provinces, and they are the proposed names. So in terms of the format of the league, per weekend we'll play 11 matches. Over the entire season, there will be about 14 matches. So we'll be playing for 4 weeks, 4 weekends. At the end of week 3, we'll be having the top 4, which will then qualify for the semi-finals and consequently the finals. On the weekend of the semi-finals and finals, we'll then have the starting date for the beach volleyball. Basically, the indoor program, the proposed dates for the indoor and the beach volleyball will not run concurrently. We actually looked at if we can run them concurrently, but from a logistics point of view, it's becoming very, very difficult. So we'll run indoor volleyball for 4 weeks in succession. Then once indoor finishes, we'll then do the beach volleyball. The length of the season, like I said, it will be 4 weekends. We are proposing that the league take place in Durban. And at the end of the 4th weekend, the winners of the season will be crowned, whereby they will receive a medal, floating trophy, and a cash prize money. We want to outsource the marketing and communications component, primarily because currently we do not have the capacity within the executive to do this function. We're looking at the marketing activities to be social media marketing, creation of the collateral for the championships, your banners, pamphlets, promotional material, the marketing return on investment measurement, so that they can show us how marketing spend performed against the marketing benefits, our digital marketing, which will include the design, development, and management of the National Volleyball League website and logos. Communication will focus on designing and getting the message across to marketing platforms and collaterals. So in terms of our budgetary requirements, we will require for beach volleyball 1.5 million and for indoor volleyball for 4.2 million for the initial year. The costs are obviously completed on 80% confidence. So overall, we'll require about 5.7 million to run both leagues in one season. And we're looking at establishing partnerships with media, provinces, and of course, commercial partnerships. So in terms of the media partnerships, we're looking at TV partnerships and radio partnerships and print media partnerships. So we are expecting that the company that will be helping us with this will be able to ensure that we get such partnerships. Obviously, our provinces remain critical in terms of ensuring that the teams participate. So we will also form provincial partnerships. And obviously, we'll be forming strategic alliances with potential sponsors. We're hoping that we'll manage to get a few sponsors who will come on board to specifically help us with the finances that are required or resources that are required to ensure that the league becomes successful. We have also included, in terms of the annexures, our development reports, development plans, financial reports for the past 3 years, and of course the National League concept document. Chair, that's in present, that's in short.
Thank you very much. Chair, that is the presentation concerning the request that we received from the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It was brief to the point. Now this is the time for questions, clarifications, contributions to the board and to the department. Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Bev, Honorable Manana, Honorable Mose, in that order. Thank you so much. Can you switch that mic? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. We welcome the presentation with concerns. I'll raise some of the concerns, but let me start with noting that you don't have sponsorship, but what strategy do you have for you to get more sponsors? You don't highlight any plans that you have, that you envisaged for you to go out to get sponsors. You don't have any plans. You're comfortable, you don't have budget, or you don't have sponsors. It's a concern on its own, we understand it, but what strategy do you have, or any plans? On your government structures, I'm concerned, you know, one of the projects that you spoke of, there's no diversity, and yes, the chairperson raised the concern that there's not even a female to date, but you're saying yes, there's an apology, we know that, but you have 13 executive members, and out of 13, it's only three, and it seems, if I may ask, you are saying you've accomplished, the previous board had only one. Now you are putting yourself here that we've done it. They've only had one, you have three now. It's good for you. You are happy with that. I'm saying good in a sense of, you're saying this, the transformation to you guys, you're comfortable with it. When you scale yourself maybe 1 to 10 on transformation, what number are you giving yourself to? On the leaks, page 11, I want to go back to it, Chair, sorry. I wrote page 11, oh yes. Why do you have, you're investigating to start a leak, but you're going to to consider only the male aspect. Now it's still about transformation, but your plans is about male aspect, unless I don't get it. You concern you have only three female on your leadership, but you are now, your focus on this new proposal that you've presented to us, you're going to focus on the male leak. Male, unless page 10, page 11. Now maybe explain that to me, why male, but you're considering yourself trying to address the issue of diversity. Composition of the board, page 17, it's still the same thing. The composition of the board, it's male. Or what is the composition? Maybe we must have the names of the South African board that you envisage. It's page 17, I just wrote that. Again on page 17, oh no, let me not leave that one. I've, what is it? Clubs. I'm concerned, but well, I'm from Soweto. Is volleyball for only English-speaking people, if I may ask? Just, I'm pushing something here. Typical from... Originally, I'm from KwaZulu-Natal in Newcastle, Mkhulumisi Zulu. I don't see any name on your league. Okay, let me go to page 20. You know, Nene Rhino, Nene Thunder, Dynamics, you know, Giant, Warriors. Angabi nomzimkhulu kube negama elitshengisa ukuthi nathi samulekile. It's only English names, animals' names, you know? I want to pull exactly. How did you form, or what was the rationale for you guys to name these different, is it provinces, KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng? What was the rationale all about? And then I'll take it from there. Chair, this is my last question for now. But I'm concerned, your financial, I'm not clear on the 10 million. I've just checked the indoor, it's 4.2 million and 3.5 million. Is it per annum? Maybe can you break down exactly what exactly are you going to use with the 10 million that was allocated for in a layman understanding? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. Honorable Bev.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Just on a lighter note from Honorable Mhlongo, I'm happy to hear that he's from KwaZulu-Natal. Now, I don't know where my name comes from, because my other name is Shabulile, and it's got nothing to do with English or whatever, and so on. I was just told that it means happiness, so so the names is a long story. Yes, thank you. Yes, my question goes around the structuring of the courts, because I don't know if in my constituency if I was fortunate. Some time ago, I was a ward councillor, and a volleyball court was erected. But, of course, it wasn't correct. So I'd like to know the surfaces used and the type of sand used and so on, the plumbing and everything. We just see a court being erected. We don't see all the other things underneath, what happens. And when it rains, the sand, if it doesn't wash away, because I've got experience of a beautiful court, and later it was just a square. And also, I think what in the area, what kept children away and the youth from playing volleyball, the injuries, because it wasn't the proper sand. Now, we didn't know it looked like beach sand, but we don't know what type of sand, so maybe just tell us what type of sand. And we ended up with lots of children slipping and sliding in the beginning, not playing volleyball, but seeing it's beach sand and so on, and they got injured. What is the marketing strategy that you use so that everybody knows in South Africa about volleyball and not related to a language? And in the schools, you mentioned that players in schools and participants, how do you relate the players and the participants, the outside body versus the schools? And also, how do you market it in the schools that kids play? My other question would be volleyball courts. Would there be one day a dream that one volleyball court per ward, so that everybody participate in volleyball? How possible is that to see that happening soon? Indoor surface versus the outdoor beach volleyball. It's not the same size. So what is it cheaper to build, the indoor or outdoor? And also the rules of the game, is it the same rules for indoor, outdoor, because it's not the same surface? Yes, thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Berg. Welcome, Honorable Bergman. Welcome to the committee, Honorable Manan.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, first thing, I would like to welcome the presentation, although it has been presented by the boys choir, as you always say. I think next time we need to bring the gender commission to this committee so that they can see what we're talking about, because we always preach this gospel of saying we want to see the gender balance. But anyway, I'm not going to dwell on that one, since you have explained that you do have a female in your members. Chairperson, I just want to check on the BRIC Games. How many provinces participated in that BRIC Games? And I feel intimidated when I'm sitting in front of the DG, because immediately when I'm asking questions, he sometimes frown as if I'm...
Just ignore me. I'm processing. Sorry.
Oh. Honorable members, this is the first time that I'm hearing this. They always playful DG and Manana. The only... I know the other one you were... So, Honorable Manan, please don't defocus us. Sort your things with your DG. Please don't involve us.
Thank you, Chair, because my colleagues already told me that I'm protected. So I wanted to check how many provinces participated in BRICS game, and which criteria did you use in all the provinces, if the all nine provinces participated in the BRICS game. And I can see you have got a very good vision in your volleyball. And what I understand is that this committee is always talk about the rural areas, and you have mentioned the rural areas in your presentation. But I'm from the rural areas, whereby I always watch the volleyball on the TV, and at the ground level, you are not visible. I must say that. If I can see the volleyball, I'll only see volleyball in the township area, but in those deep rural areas. And you cannot maybe talk about the volleyball that you'll transform the volleyball in the rural, in the rural areas, but there is no facilities at all for volleyball. And on your championship, I can see you have budgeted. You still require that budget. You have budgeted so much millions, but you still require it, and you don't have any sponsors. How sure that you're gonna this championship will. I mean, these all nine provinces will be accommodated, will be transported, since you still require this big amount to accommodate all the participants in that championship. Because see, and another the last question, Chaplain, is that I just want to check with Volpol South Africa, because I can see these are the big cities where you're going to run your event. Because Durban, we know, is a big city. Gauteng, including Western Cape. When is Volpol South Africa going to take this big event in the small town where there are deep rural areas like Limpopo and Mpumalanga? Because it seems, unless maybe you are running away from these provinces because of the facilities, that we're not going to take this championship because there are no facilities at all. And what are you going to do to have facilities in those provinces so that you can take those events, big events in those provinces? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Manana. After Honorable Musi, before the volleyball leaders responded, I'll give DG to give us some briefing in order that maybe some other things will get it from the department. I'm suspecting I was supposed to do that, but let's finish to take the questions, and then DG brief us on what you are knowing about this volleyball, which we are supporting by your finances. Maybe it's going to assist us. Honorable Musi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll just be quick on questions. The first question would be on your vision statement, that you want to inspire the passion of the sports in the country as a whole. Maybe a question that I wanted to check on it is almost similar to the one that Honorable Abrams posed, that what is your marketing strategy? My question was just to ask you to briefly indicate on how you intend to doing that, you know, without making it too long. Chair, my second question, Chair, would be maybe just to indicate that, you know, at times when you give a report, it is good to indicate these abbreviations. You know, when you speak of
FIVB, you know them. I have to think deep of what that means. FIVB, CIVB. Try to make sure that we follow you as you give the report. Like Chairperson, look, you know, on page 18, they've got NVL, National Volleyball, and then the other paragraph they've got VNL, you know, and to me, you know, once you do that, then it changes meaning at all. I mean, if you say the stature of a man or a man of stature, those are not saying. Now, Chair, my other question here. I'm just trying to throw it to you that can't we perhaps try something that was not started by the Europeans or America? I'm not sure whether we have volleyball for people living with disability. Do we have something of that nature?
Yes.
Is it there?
Yes.
But I did not hear you saying anything about it. Please tell us about it, 13 Chairperson. And Chair, the President and the gentleman who did the finances kept on saying the Constitution would be amended. And I just wonder, Chairperson, whether there is something in the Constitution that discourages the participation of women, because you kept on indicating that you are going to amend, as if, you know, there is something that bars you from an inclusive of women. And Chairperson, that would be my last question. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I was wondering, Greg, when you're amending the Constitution, what was that constitution initially? Who were the drafters that maybe they didn't see importantly that this country has got a gender equity? But we appreciate that if you have seen that those who were drafting, they didn't include. It was a very, very a bad mistake, as if they are not living in South Africa. DJ?
Thank you, Chair. Let me start where it ended, with the Constitution. Chair, the truth is the South African Sport Law, the National Sport and Recreation Act, says that we should discourage or not fund any entity or sport body that doesn't promote disability, doesn't promote inclusivity, representativity and diversity of the country. And our funding guidelines we issued and we amended in 2012 and published and gazetted speaks exactly to that. And we had linked funding to the EPG process. And we evaluate and assess federations and agree with them and set targets with them about various things, including the issues of diversity and representation. With volleyball, we have only started with them a year ago, and now we have signed barometer agreements with them, setting them targets. That's why they can tell you with certainty that by 2019 they must have achieved a 50% representation of women on all across their structures, and not just elector structures, but also on management and on boards and every other issues, including equity in terms of players. So transformation is not an event, it's a process. And I think we've got to acknowledge that. And I think you see the constitution of the country does not legislate. It simply speaks to equality of gender. But it does not legislate and force people to do that. But you can see with different party policies, if you look at the ANC, that itself had to amend its own constitution to force a 50% gender representation. And only then, in voting, even if men come up tops, the women who come after them are promoted until they reach a gender parity. But we can't say the same about the other parties. And I think even with the Western Cape provincial government, you could see it was easy for the premier to simply appoint an all-male except herself team. And that you can't say is illegal. It is not illegal, but it is inconsistent with what the constitution, the spirit of the constitution requires for gender parity and gender representation. And I think I will leave it at that with the evolution of volleyball itself. So they have a long way to go. It is not an event. You simply can't prop up people who are not within structures and simply say they will stand at all costs, will have women at all costs. You don't have to simply do tokenism. They have to. That's why they are telling you that now their support to provinces, amongst others, is around training. Training of technical officials, training of all of this. That should include women. And naturally, those women will then go into the structures of volleyball and then be fast-tracked. The amendment of the Constitution is intended to put, not to amend the clause that prohibits women participation. There's no such clause. But it is intended to put a mandatory condition in the Constitution that women ought to be represented and they ought to constitute 50%. And I think that's what the process is about, and it should be understood within that context. But also, just to link this, I think we should understand that this committee, after a long time, we SRSA struggled with volleyball and in getting them to be in a right space. We have reported here over and over about our assessment of codes. They had big problems with volleyball schools. There was no proper alignment. You would even recall that volleyball schools had qualified a team to go play the International Schools Federation tournament, but the old volleyball structure refused to grant the kids the opportunity to go play internationally, and we had a fight with them over such issues. So there is a new executive in place. It was elected last year, September. And you know, it is here now. We have had a tremendous cooperation from the current structure, and we are making tremendous progress. It is a painful process. Many of these executive members are not full-time, they are volunteers. They are trying to do the right thing. They have noted the issues we have put forward. They have participated fully in the EPG process. They have been as honest as possible to fill in out their questionnaires and all their things to help us determine the state of affairs as they are. I think it is always better that the status report that we issue is reflective of the truth of what is there, and we don't sugarcoat everything or anything, because that helps us to know the base from which we move from and the base in which we can then be able to do a whole host of things. And indeed, a structure such as the one we had could not have possibly attracted sponsors. I think we ought to be as sincere as possible about this matter.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
They've indicated that 2 minutes have finished, so I wanted that they must put the check.
Okay.
Continue.
All right. So there was no chance, Chair, that they would be able to attract sponsors. And I think the other key thing, in order to attract a sponsor, you don't just say, I'm Volleyball South Africa and I want a sponsor. It must be a sponsorship for a specific thing. And for there must be return on investment for that sponsor. So if you do not have products that you can package and be sponsorship ready, you won't have sponsors. It's as simple as that. And I think the intervention we're making by declaring them a Federation of the Year, all other federations, when we started with netball, they were in a moribund state. They were in no shape, no size to do anything. The wolves were at the door. The sheriff was attaching their property, was about to sell their offices and every other thing. We paid for all their losses, and we paid even what they owed previously from the so-called Grand Series. They ran this big league hoping that they will attract sponsors, but without the money to run the league. And the league ran and finished, and they never attracted a sponsor. Welcome, Minister. They never...
I must acknowledge.
Sorry, Chair. Everyone has a boss. I was just acknowledging my boss.
I'm the boss today. Yeah.
Sorry.
No other boss.
Sorry, Chair.
Her boss.
My apologies.
Manana, please weep, my DJ.
The weep is here.
So,
oh, sorry.
No committee without weep. Thank you so much, Minister. We did get the apology. We appreciate that when you finish other tasks, you are pleased to join us. We just finished presentation by e-volleyball president and the team, and now we wanted your office by UTG to add on. So we've already have questions to themselves, maybe by adding input from DG, some questions will be catered for. I'm suspecting you will be listening when they are responding to the questions. But if you want to say something about your new board as a new minister, maybe after DG, you may say something. No. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. As I was saying, so we are helping them now get a sponsor, and I can whisper to the committee. I don't like say committing things that have not yet been signed off, but I can tell you that most likely we will get a sponsor for them, a broadcast sponsor for the league, which will help alleviate this, and we are talking to SuperSport about this, and we have already had two preliminary discussions with them on the content and nature of the league, and SuperSport is quite eager that we do this league together, and with it, it will attract revenue for the league itself, which will alleviate the commitment we have made into it. Importantly in this regard is that once you have TV rights, then you can have title sponsors and other technical sponsors and so on, because then the return on investment is huge. And I think that the catalyst for success of the league remains those rights. So I've seen that in their presentation on the league, they say on TV it's either SuperSport or SABC. It will not be SABC, I can assure you. It will be SuperSport. And that's what is likely going to happen. And that's where we, the department, comes in to use our muscle to negotiate on their behalf and get a better deal. Because if they go alone, because this thing is on paper, it has never really played before. The players are not known. The teams are new and they are not known. They would come out there with 200,000 rand. But if we go as a department, we're likely to get a deal of up to 5 million or so. And that's what we are doing now. And we have said to them, on this issue, please take a back seat. Allow us to exercise our muscle to get a better deal. And that's what we are doing with them in this regard. On the issue of governance, I think, as we have said, I'm not going to go back to the issue of diversity. We have covered that. The board we are talking about, the same board of the league, is the same board of Volleyball South Africa. We are not going to create two entities. There's no money to do so. And they have to take responsibility for this as their flagship program in their basket of the developmental programs we're putting in. And we're pitching this for now as a semi-pro league. It's not a professional league at all. It's semi-professional in the sense that the players still have got to continue with their university studies and continue where they work. But they come in and play over a shorter season. We have congested the seasons to make sure that it's cheaper to run and to establish the product as a footprint. And the reason we go to Durban, it's quite expensive and to bring beach volleyball to inland, because you have to have truckloads of sand. And this she's correct, Honorable Abrahams. What is being used is beach sand. And we add a bit of silica to it just to make it stick. Sand, but that not too much that it is heavy under the feet of the players, but so it can hold. But it's beach sand, that's the main component. The more natural, the better for it. So if you use like river sand, which is heavy, and as you step on it, your feet sink and so on, then it's not so good. And if you use like normal building sand, indeed, players are going to be injured. When they fall, those little stones in, they are going to scratch them and every other thing. So you have to be specific about what you use. And getting beach sand to inland, as natural as it is, and the truck loads of it, is quite an expensive exercise. We had done the championships before with volleyball in Bloemfontein, at the Rose Garden where Makufe takes place. It was good. It looked good. It looked like a real beach. There were people in bikinis and there were all these things and so on there. And there were people eating canapés and sunset drinks and so on. But the cost of putting up and that infrastructure is so huge. So you have to look for a coastal city, for a coastal area where you can do this job. And unfortunately, we are stuck because we have decided to do what no one else has ever done. All over the country, the leagues are segregated. You have an indoor league and you have a beach league. But never before have you ever seen them combined together. And we are doing the two formats of the game into one. And we know that beach volleyball is growing faster than the indoor version of it. And beach volleyball attracts more sponsors than this. And I can also whisper in your ear that we are talking to SAD. It will either be Corona or Flying Fish that becomes the headline sponsor for this. And they are only coming on the basis that there is beach volleyball. But then beach volleyball, which is the smaller version of this, will find itself subsidizing the bigger version of the sport itself. And we are waiting for the TV rights. Once we have that, then we have a good offer to give to SAB for this purpose. Now they are called InBev, so AB InBev. So we are also at an advanced stage with them on the other side. So we will have a sponsor. Let me put it that way. We will have sponsors to make this thing work. They too have been negotiating with other smaller people for kids and all of those type of things. We will have sponsors. Let me put it that way. We will not start the league. I'm one. I would rather say to the minister, please, let's not kickstart the league then in October. Let's move it to November or whenever, when we are ready and all the agreements have been signed. Otherwise, you start something, then next year you don't have money to sustain it, and then it collapses, then it's just failure. And then even the sponsors who came on board will never come back to you. So I think that is as it is. Will we ever have volleyball courts one per watt ever? We doubt. It's never going to be that way, because even our national facilities plan does not speak to it that way. There is no way you will build a rugby field, a cricket oval, what by what, all municipalities right across the country. It's never done that way. You have a tennis court, maybe about five of them in this ward. You have two swimming pools in that ward. You have just like that, and you spread them like that across a municipality. And then in town, or where it's a central business district or somewhere, you also zone sport and recreation. You have a park and you have the so-called municipal cluster. Then you have the so-called municipal cluster where you find all these different things together where games can happen. And typically those clusters surround a small stadium in a municipality. But that's what the National Facilities Plan is. So don't hope to find a volleyball court in every ward across the country. It's not feasible. It wouldn't happen. And what's cheaper to build between indoor courts and beach volleyball? Obviously beach court is the cheapest if it is on the beach. And if the beach is already flattened and it's easy, then it's cheaper, because you just you just put the bang, yeah, and then the poles, and then it's done. So that's the cheapest version. But if you do the surfaces, can be done in different ways. We have seen where other places they use concrete. And some schools use like a parking lot and then they just draw the lines. But we know the impact, particularly in a sport like volleyball where children have got to jump. And when they land, the joints suffer in a long run. And the better surfaces are clay courts, which many are used in that regard. But as you may know, typically a good surface for volleyball is a wooden indoor court. That's the best surface you can ever have, because is cushioned underneath, and as the children step, and or even professional players step on it. But those courts and those boards don't come cheap. They are quite heavy and expensive. I'm yet to see one less than 800,000. They are quite expensive. So, and then we have obviously the outdoor courts with the, because in many township schools and everywhere, you wouldn't find halls, school halls big enough to put in that floor and to draw the lines on it. So you have to rely on the outside. And that's where the sport courts we do with the Sports Trust come in. Because they are multi-purpose courts, they are done with a base and with a latex rubber coated on that base. And children, as they step, it's cushioned and it's nice, but it also takes the heat, it takes the weather, and it's in the open. And it doesn't play only volleyball. It plays four other courts, and which is what we had been trying to bridge and to roll out in this regard. The marketing strategy, I don't think Volleyball South Africa will ever have the capacity to build internal marketing capability. And it is for this reason we agree with them that they ought to outsource the marketing of the league. And they must give it to professional companies that can do the job. A little portion of what we give them will be paid to those companies. But those companies must run those things they listed there, their website, their Twitter, their everything and so on, and reignite the passion and the interest for volleyball in the country. Volleyball, unlike many courts, have been played by most racial groups, almost all of them, right across blacks, Indians, coloureds, even whites have played volleyball quite significantly, and the footprint is quite healthy. And it's just that there has never been a product for kids and for spectators to look up to and to follow. And we think the cornerstone of that marketing strategy remains this league. If we show them something that can appear on TV, something that is appealing, that offers an opportunity for the best players, and we are prescribing for them that we don't just want top players who in the senior. They must do what we have done with hockey. At least three of their players in their teams must be junior. And so in hockey, you saw even children from schools who are extremely talented and good being included in the Premier League teams. And that builds your healthy pipeline, and your league doesn't only serve for high flight, it also serves for development purpose. And because we force it on all teams in that way, then it becomes fair to everybody. The competition is fair. And we want to use the player draft system that will draw this. We would have loved to include women in the main format of the game in year one. Our plans, you can ask them. We are planning that from year three, women will be in. And this speaks to our development program that is running now. And this is only in the main format of the tournament, because honestly, let us be honest, there's never been major women's teams in volleyball. I think many of the people play volleyball, particularly women and girls, at high school, and a few sprinkle play it at universities, and then it fizzles out. So in communities, you don't really find women basketball teams, but we have made it a target for them to say, in 3 years' time, they must have built sufficient number of women, and this also gives us an opportunity that the sponsorship, particularly of broadcast rights, would have grown significantly to add a two-tier league system, women and men. And however, it will impress you to know that in terms of beach volleyball, in fact, we've got very talented women players. And that's why we have 8 teams of women beach volleyball and about 6 teams for men. So in there is already a stronger presence of women, and where we are practical about it. I don't think we must put up teams that really don't really perform and don't meet the targets. Otherwise, we're going to lose sponsors, and the sustainability of the whole thing then becomes in question. We've got to be realistic as possible, and the products we're going to put up there, already we are compromising, because I can tell you that in places like Northern Cape, those teams are going to be walloped like there is no tomorrow. But even with basketball, we come from that era where you find that the Sunbirds from Mpumalanga were being beaten like 97-13, you know, by... So, So we have had that, but now today, after about four seasons, the matches are now beginning. They are becoming competitive because of exposure and competition levels. And I think that's where we will get into in 3 years' time. I think let us not be sentimental about it and be as practical as possible. And if we are to bring women to the fore, let's not do tokenism. Let's make sure that they are properly empowered to do a good job on the field. And let's build stronger teams and have them participate in that regard. And I think that's what we are working on in that regard. The last thing is the issue of the names. No, I think the issue is this, is that we have to think about long-term future. Yes, we may name the teams the any way we want. When we did the Hockey Premier League, we had just approved the National Sport Tourism Strategy. And in celebration of that, we then directed Hockey South Africa to name the teams after essential landmarks of the country. But it is a global strategy all over the world to name teams around animals, particularly animals in your country and animals in there. In Sanabo boxing thing, all animals as well. Even in rugby, most of our teams are animals. It's only in football that you have a huge mismatch. You may have a Swallows, which is a bird. You may have a Chiefs, which really, in Soweto, there's not even a traditional authority, but somehow they are Chiefs there. And there is no geopolitical relevance to the naming or anything. So all we are saying is that in this case, it is the issue of the fauna of our country. And that's what we are following accordingly, and naming it along animals present in those provinces and historically which are proven to have roamed the plains of these provinces. And I think that's where we are about our naming philosophy and strategy about it. But remember that these are just proposed names. They are going to go into the pot. The players themselves are going to have to vote on those names and say they are happy or not, because they ought to own the names and they ought to feel that they belong. And we believe that the player must, in this regard, have the last say. Because after all, they are the people who are going to play behind that badge. So it shouldn't be a political issue what the team names are. And I think even at the last min-mac, some MECs were complaining how did the names in boxing get about. But the players voted for those names. They like them. You may say, Badger, that ugly thing with such small legs. But the players, if they say we want to be Badgers, let them be. I think we have to listen to what the players require. And the BRICS games are games between Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And the BRICS Sports Council of Ministers makes a decision which codes are played. Last year in Goa, India, it was under-17 football. I know that the Russians and particularly the Russians have been lobbying us for the codes that they are strong in, wrestling, gymnastics and all of that. But we know that those are not the codes that are going to help our development path right now. And so we are lobbying also for the inclusion of the things we are strong in. For instance, we are strong in rugby. But we know Brazil, India, China, Russia, they are not strong in rugby. And they know that South Africa is going to win if that is the case. And that's why the Indians will argue and say include cricket, you know. So everybody looks at their own thing that is there. And so this time around the agreement was basketball and volleyball. And the Chinese hosted the games. And we sent our basketball and our... The Chinese are good in things like table tennis and so on. Their proposal, even when they met us, I was with you, Minister, at the SASCOC meeting when the DM had to leave and go join the Chinese ambassador, who came to lobby specifically for the codes they think they are strong in. You know that South Africa at the BRICS Council meeting must vote for those codes, you know. So we put our own proposal. So now we are taking more and more that the host decides the game. So I think that's what is now happening, decides the codes that are going to be played. But our insistence was that it all be development. and we don't want professional teams. If we send Bafana Bafana there or whatever, then it's pointless. That competition doesn't help us. I think it has to be developmental so that it makes sense to us. So there couldn't have possibly been provinces that are participating in the BRICS games. It will have been our national teams in women and also underage teams that would represent us to do that. We agree with you, the FIVB and ICVB, consistency is important, and the abbreviations must be given in full. The FIVB being the International Volleyball Federation, and the ICVB being the one for the continent. But yes, they can't be used interchangeably, and they must be provided in full. That part we acknowledge. The last thing you raised, Honorable Musu, was the issue of disability in volleyball. Again, we do not have significant number of players and teams to do that. This is an area for development. We have also issued a directive from the APG process on them developing that part of the game and the sport. Previously, it was just happening on its own, but now it has to be structured. They've got to put a bit of their money and a bit of focus to make sure that ultimately the junior leagues happen. We are linking it clearly to schools as a start, so that it develop organically. And we have so young players who play tennis on wheelchair or wheelchair rugby or what also have a new option of saying, I actually can play volleyball. That's what will prop up the number of players and ultimately end up with a significant league for that. So in basketball, we have already achieved that. Sasol is now a new sponsor for the wheelchair basketball, and we will grow even this one to those heights in due time. So I think I've tried to answer everything, Chair. The only thing I didn't answer is on the issue of the financials. We will finalize the financials about how much we delineate for, but our strategy is not to use the entire 10 million in 1 year. It will be finalized on the basis of how much we sign in sponsorship deals, and particularly the broadcast rights, because whatever we get from the broadcasters reduces our own exposure as government. We just top up on that to make sure that the league happens. So the issue of the financials, I think as we get closer to the league season, we will see with certainty. The longer that 10 million is stretched over significant, the more sustainable the league gets. And I think that is the strategy about it. Thanks.
Thank you, TG. I'll give you, honorable members. Thank you, TG. I'm suspecting that some of us who used to sit in SADC where we were discussing MDGs. As South Africa, we are not yet there to 50-50. We are just 42. I want us to remember that provinces, even if they are sending the list of the MPs, some of us who used to be in the NCOP will see that when we're there, we want to have a balance of 50-50, but we don't know when we're here reaching parliament, how are we going to get those women, whilst maybe each province they didn't provide that. As multi-party women's caucus then, I was a chairperson in order that I must lead it to SADC. We were saying that in all Africa regions, we must try to enforce this 50-50. And that's why, DG, when we're here, we know exactly that the constitution of the country doesn't provide that, but there's some political parties they do put in their constitution. I may mention or not mention, in SADC we sit with some African leaders that they are still seeing the place of the woman is in the kitchen. And when we're there, sometimes they will even not want to listen. They will say, if I'm going to present, they will say that, look at these South African women. You know, men from South Africa, they want to be ruled by a woman. I'm not talking about a December election now. I'm talking about the issue that is very, very, very crucial. And when we're emphasizing to you as board members, we know that until you enforce, but before even you do that, you know that we've been, as a ruling party government, saying that this equity, it can't be without 50-50. 50-50 were not yet there because so many parties, they are not applying that. Whilst with us as ruling party, we're trying, we're not even getting there. So it must be clear that we're giving you and asking this question, saying that be cautious, that you want to get out of the kitchen, want to be part of the leadership. So it's a reality. When you talk of MDGs, it's one other thing that it is there. So let's all strive to get there. I'm trying to develop your point, DG, that sometimes being a South Africans, when that delegation wanted to go to some other African countries, they will even, some countries, not want to lead the delegation of multi-party men's caucus because they are afraid of the men. Some of us will just hold the horse or the bull with the horns. They will try that, go and lead. Other countries will be rejecting your speaker, former Mr. Sisulu, will say, leave everything. No one want to go in such ABC country because it's multi-party women's caucus. They are afraid of the women, of the men of that country. So we are emphasizing to you that please do take what we are saying, not just equity, but this question of gender and this question of 50-50. I'm having follow-up, hence I was taking an advantage that I used to be sitting in this committee, which I'm still missing to sit in SADC, because I was always one to challenge the man there who was very stereotyped. Honorable Hlongo, Honorable Manana, Honorable Musi, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. You know, Chair, I think we must acknowledge that as a future government, in future when we... Can I be protected, Chair?
You are protected.
Thank you, Chair. I speak this with passion, Chair.
Honorable Manan, please leave the honorable member to
I think with are. Them even in 2014, check Johannesburg, check Tswane, and check Nelson Mandela Bay. I think we'll always dream. If you don't, if you're not a dream, you're not human.
Parties. We are a committee of portfolio sports and recreation. There are no political parties here. We are one.
You're so out I of order, Manana, because the chairperson raised that as an ANC, you didn't call her to order.
No, it's a ruling party.
I'm a future government, for information.
That is
I'm a future government. If you not notice that, come 2019, you'll talk to me after this.
Honorable Manana, you're out of order. Both of you, we are out of order. Let's listen, contribute, and no one must eject. Everyone must talk his or her dreams.
Thank
or
you, Chair.
His contribution. We don't have any problem.
But nonetheless,
we are members of Parliament.
And if, understand it's Monday. I'll talk to you after this, Manana. Chair, I just on a lighter note, but I want to bring it good, you know, maybe the minister must check with DG's salary. He spoke well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lie. You came to a nerve, but maybe in future you must speak the last. No, seriously. You answered our question, but I'm concerned. I wanted to hear from them. DG, we must check his salary. He's doing well, but at the end of the day, Ube is sweeper, and I didn't get anything from
listen,
him.
Honorable.
No, I'm saying, can I report? I'm still coming. I'm still, I appreciate, Song, but I'm saying, Chair.
Listen
Song.
To me. Maybe I made a mistake that they were supposed both of them put the presentation, now the DG is, I've put it after we have asked questions, and I've apologized about that, because according to agenda, I was supposed to say, present the volley South Africa, and then the department, which is DG. So I'm saying that there's nothing wrong on what you are saying, but if I was did give you a chance that I must ask that each one must follow. Maybe these questions, still remember when I'm saying maybe the questions were not going to be asked. Mm. So that's why we always love that when we're calling these entities, the DG ministers, if they do have a chance, they must come. So I'm saying that we are correct. There's nothing wrong on what we're saying. So, sorry about it. I was supposed to do that. So even when I was responding, I was saying that if I did give DG the chance to speak, some of the questions were not going to be asked. But I'm still giving you according to what I've said, you are number 1, 2, 2, 3, to do follow-up questions. I thank you.
Now, it's just appreciation, but technically, as a future government, won't do this. On a lighter note, Malan. But you've answered our question, DG. I appreciate that. But I wanted to hear from the board, obviously, as an oversight team. You've covered most. But I wanted to get an explanation from them. You'll come later. The part of the board of voluntarism, what does that mean? When you say you are a volunteer, what does that mean? What does it entail? And I want to hear from them. You'll cover later. Because they are volunteers and understand the love of South Africa. And how much was spent, GoBRICS, in June? Can you give me 18 participants? How much was spent all in all? Traveling and other expenses. And I'm concerned, Chair. Yes, I understood the DG, as I was saying, he's a sweeper. But the primary aim wanted to find out what is the plan of 10 million to date. That was the brief. Now you are saying it will be done because there's a leak. Because the brief, it says the allocation that was given the Volleyball South Africa, the 10 million. And why I was asking, that's why I was vague with my question, if you have seen my question on finance. I said, come to my level, because I don't see any plans. You're just giving us 17 of, sorry. The finances, it's 3.1. And I was asking deliberately, saying, why are these finances like this? Tell us, what are we going to use for 10 million that we've allocated? Give me a layman. That was my question. Yeah. Now I'm asking the board, and then the DG will come later, and I understood him well, because, you know, if you are a leader, you must have a vision. And your vision, obviously, must tell us. That's why the first question, and the DG covered it well, to say, what is your intention? You note that you don't have sponsors, but what are your plans? I think you're supposed to give us your plans, noting the DG. Everything that you've said, it's not on the presentation. No. I'm talking about their plans, budget, the finances, the sponsors' plans. It's not in the
DG,
I'm saying, can you not intimidate me? It's not
DG,
there.
I'll give you a chance to
It's not there.
and everybody. Let's listen, and then when time comes.
Unless you tell me the PhD chief.
No.
Sometimes I don't have
spectacles. No, they will be responding, Honorable Mhlongo. I'm stopping that. They must respond whilst you are still talking.
Yeah. Chair, those are my questions for now, and I think you've emphasized the issues of diversity. That one, and the question to the board, when you scale one out of transformation, 1 to 10, scale yourself, where do you see yourself? I think there's something why I'm asking this question, and you didn't answer it, DG, that one.
The next, Honorable Manana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think in support of this colleague of mine, but not on everything.
This colleague of mine.
In support of Honorable Mhlongo, Chairperson, but not on everything about the comprehensive response from the DG, I really appreciate the way he responded. And he also gave, if I misunderstood him very well, that he gave a little bit of surety about the championship of these leagues. I just want to check with the Volleyball South Africa that since the surety is there, broadcasting sponsors and SAB that you are still negotiating, have you informed maybe? I mean, have you been informed formally the whole 9 provinces that are going to participate in that league so that they can start preparing themselves? Meanwhile, the death month is not yet confirmed, so that maybe you give the information to the whole provinces. I just want to check that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Moses.
Thank you very much, person. Chair, you see when people meet on the street, fleet, and then decide to get married, and want you to recognize that marriage, that is based on. You know, I don't want to use that word, but it starts with a P, that word. PR. you understand that? And then we always say that, you know, people, you can dream. Everybody can dream, you know. It's allowed to dream. But when you begin to punch above your weight, you know, it's a dangerous thing because there you stand the risk of being knocked down.
You see, Honorable Mhlongo.
Chairperson, we have always said that look, for as long as you base your marriage on things that are not there, you'll always differ in the marriage. We have seen it recently. I never mentioned anything.
I'm taking a point of order.
I think we agree that the board must not use acronyms. Can the honourable member tell us what is PR?
Please, honourable members, we still have another presentation. I know that it's not nice to be not be like this. It's right when we are teasing each other, but let's mind of time. Okay. You have started and then they are responding, but it's nice to do this. Let's be focused on the questions. Leave the marriages. Leave the...
Thank you, Chairperson. But you got the answer that PR is public relations. Thank you, researcher and Honorable Manan. But Chair, I actually wanted to check with the DG. And I want to believe that, you know, when you have, I'm not sure whether the net that is used in volleyball, it's called the net as well. Is it a net? Mm-hmm. And as well as the ball, it is also the ball. Yeah, but
it's a volleyball.
It's a volleyball. Yeah. I must be careful because one day when I was doing the speech, I mentioned something about 24 balls and people laughed. Instead of saying soccer balls, I said somebody had balls and people enjoyed it. and it was even worse because I said there were 24 of them. You remember that? So I must be careful, Chairperson, of what I say, volleyball. That's volleyball, yeah. Now, I regard that volleyball as part of the equipment. that volleyball as part of the equipment as well as the net. But DT, you indicated the expense of having to ferry, you know, the sand from the coastal area to a place like Free State, which is inland. And to me, when you do that, you know, after, you know, finishing the championship, you have to regard it as part of the resources, as part of the equipment, and keep it and try to secure, more especially that it is safe. I'm not sure whether keeping it is expensive as ferrying it, but I want to believe that if we keep it and keep it for future use, it would be, you know, less costly. I just want to get it from the DG. Thank you, Chairperson.
Before that, may I give the board members to have a chance of responding? Because whilst I was giving DG, I wanted that he must add. So he added and answered questions. So you have got a task to also respond. And the minister, after UDG, will be saying something. He can't be new in sport. He's been a SADC president, so he knows the sport. President, oh, yes.
Honorable Chair, I also need to respond to the few last questions before. Like the first one is about the rules concerning indoor and beach volleyball. We have different rules for these two formats of volleyball. Indoor has got its own rules, and then beach volleyball has got its own rules. And then the other one is your rurals, our attention to deep rurals. The reports that we have submitted will show you that we are now deep into the rurals of the rurals, of which myself also, as the president, has visited all those rurals. And then the question of volunteerism. All of us, we are volunteers. We come from our provinces. We came through the ranks of volleyball as volunteers from the provinces, from local. We grow up into your district. You grew up into your provincial structure until we qualified to be in the national structures, whereby there's no payment at all. Volleyball is not funded for the money that we are receiving is ring-fenced for certain projects, and there's no allocation at all for to get pay anyone any a cent. So we are voluntarily doing volleyball. That's why you will see some of the people are so scared to be part and parcel of such, because sometimes you are using your own money. That's why this happened. It's like that. It happens. So I think those are the most questions that I needed to answer that I've noted. I don't know if my members here also have some to respond to.
Thank you, President. Any intake?
I think in terms of how much was spent at the BRICS Games, like I said on the presentation, we were supported by Sports and Recreation South Africa. I think that I would leave to the DG to respond to. In terms of informing provinces of the plans of the league, we have written formally to the provinces to say they must start preparing. the information that we have given to provinces is that they must start preparing their teams for participation in the league, but we did not give more details. We actually had the general council recently where we just gave generic information to state teams must start preparing. There will be a league, and most of the provinces have actually started preparing. I think I wanted to add those two.
Okay.
Yes.
You know what, when I'm starting to introduce you, it was myself that you are volunteers. It's just because in the passport we raised this question, they've explained that sometimes it's only the tickets or sometimes out of your pocket. That's why before even you said so, I've said I know that we are volunteers. Maybe the women are there in your board. Maybe they are at work because they are volunteers. So I know that, not by telling by you, by the former board that we have called.
Yes, Chair. I need to also to highlight this, Chair. We had this sponsorship with Flying Fish, whereby we were running the leagues all over the country. That league helped us also to have established courts in, if not all the provinces. I'll tell you, it's about 7 provinces whereby we have permanent courts inside the tertiary institutions who are being utilized by our community sport as well as schools and the universities. The agreements we signed with those tertiary institutions is for us to have access to those courts so that we can speed up the process of development of beach volleyball in the inland structures. The league were being run all over the country.
Thank you. Another intake or input?
I think, Honourable Chair, what I need to allude to is that in 2014 we had that International Beach Volleyball Championship in the Free State. Yes, according to as the DG had said, it cost us a lot of money. But what we've done with the sand thereafter is we donated to schools in the Free State as well as the sports academy in the Free State. So it is being utilized to prepare players and teams at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. DG?
Yeah, just the issue is that it is true that you may bring the sand and then do the course thereafter and it becomes sustainable. But it is just the sheer amount of money to bring the sand from coast to inland, which often is prohibitive. But also importantly is the fact that now, as a result of actually all of this, you would be surprised that the number of players we have inland have now exceeded the number of players we have in the coast. Yes, on beach volleyball. In fact, our top players come from inland, not from Limpopo, and not on the coast. Whereas on the coast, the courts, you can say they are natural and so on. But as a result of the intervention of the development programs, we have now seen a surge of players from inland because it's a new thing for them, whereas children in the coast take it for granted. So these ones are quite excited to do this thing that is not played by everybody. And so, and the talent we are unearthing through that is significant for, and that's why we have continued to do the courts inland, although we know it's prohibitive and it's quite costly.
Honorable Minister.
Yes. For the BRICS Games, we sent 2 teams of volleyball as well as basketball. And the total cost for the 2 teams, together with all management, the flights, the accommodation, the allowances and the payments, the amount of money came to about 1.3 million rands. So you can do your calculations per capita there as to how much it was. And then it will give you a fair picture. And for the first time, we paid men and women the same amount of money. So it didn't really matter, but it was 1.3 for a week-long tournament in China. and for all the flights and everything associated, including the medical kits and the attire and all of those things. 10 million. On the 10 million, like I said, the entire 10 million has been ring-fenced to start the league. It's dedicated to that league. So no cent has been touched on it as yet, because no league has already started. And the conceptualization has been done internally by the department together with volleyball this far. And we have been using our internal resources and relying on our internal expertise and the experience we have had of doing four other leagues, semi-pro leagues. So from this point of view, yes, when we do sign up, and it is for this reason I'm saying, we will know in certainty around the end of September as to how much of the 10 million we will use in year one, once we have signed the sponsorship deals. Because I can tell you that with SuperSport, what we typically do is that in year one, we would say the sponsorship they give us is like 2.3 million or sometimes 2.8, depending on the format of the championship. Then in year three, it jumps like to, in year two to 3.5, year three to 3.9, year four, 4.5, and then by year five, 5 million, something like that. So it scales up. So we have to look at that scale up first and agree with them as to how much will be spent or we will attract from them in year one, and how much we will get of that from SAB in year one, and how much we'll get from Vodacom and from others. Once we know that and we have signed up those deals, it will determine how much our exposure for year one on that 10 million it will be. And then we can, right now we have put two figures which are estimates of what we intend to spend as is now without sponsorship. But once the sponsorship comes in, you see the figure starts to be mitigated in that regard. That is why I'm saying we can't tell you with certainty right now as you ask us how much of the 10 million we will, but the more we can stretch that over a number of years, say to 3, 4, or 5 years of what we spend, the more it pulls the league beyond doubt. With netball, we did the same. As you may know, last year netball broke even, and they started making money without government support, and we are no longer giving them money. We have diverted the resources that we used to give to them to hockey now, and we started the Hockey Premier League last year. And so equally, even with them, volleyball, we have budgeted ourselves on top of the 3 million to support them for the additional 2 more years after this year. And thereafter we pull out and we move on to the next year. There is another Federation of the Year coming, and Minister will announce that federation. And even with that one, we are planning also, like all others, a semi-pro league for that federation. We have found a model that we believe really works and can assist these federations to grow. And I think that is the model we will be pursuing. And each year we ring-fence this 10 million. We are now looking with Simpiwe here, who's working on federation support, to look at whether the 10 million on a purchasing power parity compared to 5 years ago is still really valuable, or should we change it to 11 million, you know, or 10.5. We are looking at that so it can beat inflation and it can be the same money that we gave when we started with netball. And I think that's what we are reviewing this year for next year. So, yeah, I think that's the 10 million and that's how we look at it. But you could see federations like tennis, which when we said to them that they must not use all the money in year one, and the then CEO didn't listen to us and went and did his thing and did his own things the way he did, and he even overcommitted tennis. What did we end up with? A loss in the federation. Money that was intended to help them turn around became a curse to them. And as a result, has tennis ever fully recovered? No. We're only now working with them again on a new intervention. And our condition back then was simple. Then Minister said, you get rid of the CEO or we are not talking to you. And indeed it worked. After he was forced to resign, we are now back. They have a new CEO. We're talking to them again. And we will re-assist them to re-establish. We have already spoken with Johannesburg. They are willing to give us the Standard Bank Arena, and we take it back and we bring back the South African Open and the Soweto Open, and we make sure that tennis development happens and that that becomes the home of tennis. So it's only tennis that did that and was never assisted. But all other federations that listened to us and did as we said, all of them are still in business and they are way ahead and they are sustainable now and their leagues are beginning to pay for themselves. So we think with the cooperation of volleyball, we will see the same outcomes as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Honorable the Minister.
Thanks, Chair, and the Honorable Members. The Department is the one accountable to this committee and Parliament in the first instance. When chips are down, those people become the last. The questions must come from the department. Why were you not doing an oversight over that particular entity? And so we are funding these federations. We set policy. We give directives, including how they have to spend the amount which we give. As I'm saying, we're the first to be on the firing line if things are not shaping well. And it is the DG's responsibility and role to know in detail what is going on in each and every federation. In fact, I had a discussion with the Honorable Chair members, with the auditors, the AG last week. And you know, one of the issues they raised, they said they appreciated that, and that's what they said, your DG is hands-on. Sometimes you don't even need to go to the next person to get the information which you want. And that's what we want. Because you can't have DGs who behave like ministers as if they are not running. They are not running the department. It's ministers who cannot go into the operations. And I can tell you, if you are to ask me about the questions of the monies and so on, I'll tell you I don't know. Because I don't want to dirty my hands on the tender and everything and so on. People come to me, we have this program, we have this. Many people have come to me since I've started. You know what I do? Send a proposal, and then I pass the proposal to the DG. And I always say, I think there's sense in this DG. Women's Month, there's no way that you're going to reject this proposal. Set up the processes, until because we're going to be moored, lack of a better word. We're going to be made to account. What programs are you running during the Women's Month? So, I think we must appreciate that the DG has those details. And I thought that accompanying entities, when they accompany, they do not replace the DG. It's when maybe some of the things are not clear that you go to the entity itself. And by the way, it's not about the character of a DG, it's about the nature of the job that board members would not have that detailed info and skill like the DG, including ministers, because it's the DG who runs the operations. I run politics. I'm a member of parliament. I'll go and we point fingers at each other across the different sides in parliament. But all I'm trying to say is proper DGs, they have to have details about all the programs. And by the way, we must also appreciate that, especially on small federations, it's difficult even to have full-time staff. A lot of full-time staff. In fact, board members who are part-time, they are not even part-time sometimes. They just come in a meeting once in 2 months or once in 3 months. That's the nature, because we don't have all these resources. It's not like in big federations where you have executive presidents, CEOs, and getting top money, researchers, this and that. And I think we must appreciate that. So they, most of the time they will even rely in terms of the guidance from the very DG. Therefore, on accountability, we cannot separate the department from the federations. Except we talk the big ones. They must all give answers, and I agree with you, Honorable Mhlongo. They must all give answers and complement one another. But expect more detail from the DG. That's my position. I'm not trying to defend it, but that's a nice way. I thought that I must come to their defense. Thank you.
Honorable members, thank you. Thank you, Minister. Honorable Mhlongo is just joining us in this committee, but I'm appreciating what you have said about the DG. I've been saying when he's going to brief or respond, saying that whilst we are just short, but the way that when we are getting to detail, we are like tall like Madiba or like this Madlong. So he can take everything, and I was always worried about the staff. Sometimes I've said, DG, you did come with the entourage, but now you have answered all the questions. Sometimes I feel pity for themselves. We are not just praising you, but whilst we've been in this committee, Honorable Bachmann and the rest, the finances of this committee is always up to standard because of himself. I was worried because some of us were not part of the deployment. I was worried when maybe the former minister is going. Sometimes they used to take their staff, DGs and whoever. I was saying, God. But here we are. Honorable members, I was consulting with the office of SUNE. We didn't discuss this question number 3. Honorable members, go to question number 3. And I was just wondering, asking, what is it? And then, if a department is ready, but Usune was saying that we can postpone it, and then we discuss it lately. Because you are aware we've been not around, and the office cannot just fold arms, especially Usune. He knows his staff also. I must tell you, when she wanted to resign, I've tried to say, Usune, please, why are you deciding on this? Because UDG and the minister, they've taken also Utebu. Was sitting here without a content advisor because he was so good to us, Utebu. And that we still have our research, we are happy with him, with Nonema. And now, Sune, sometimes we'll be seeing that. You can't be a furniture of this parliament and department, but some of us from then in the NCOP, you were there seeing your good self doing a good job. We're still with her. So if, honorable members, you don't have any problem, let's go and look at this. Unless DG, you don't have any problem, you are prepared. Because if we have prepared point number 3, why can't you take it? Honorable members, I'm in your hands. I don't want to rule alone. Can we give the department another slot to do number three? Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Manana.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to find out before going to number three, even number two, Chair, is not here. Where is it? I'm saying it's we didn't deliberate on it, firstly. I thought you are still on number one, and which is you go to number two, you have to deliberate on it. Then we go to number three if there is that number. But I'm saying I'm concerned with even number two. We're not yet on number item number two, financial priorities for sport code volleyball. Now I am asking this Chair, if this is the presentation, I'm not sure if it is. You'll correct me. Does this, it says portfolio committee report, provincial sport code. And the question of even 10 million, it's different the way the DG was presenting it on this presentation. There was again, for instance, there's training, there's purchasing of equipment.
Okay,
and those
Honorable Mkhom, I did get you. Honorable Manan.
I'm on number three, Chairperson. Item number three, can we just be. Call off them the item number three for future, not for today. Thank you.
DG, do you want to say about number two?
Chair, we were requested to speak about two things really. I think in terms of how they are presented here, they have now been clustered. There is the issue of our support that we provide to volleyball as a code. Which there was a separate presentation, but I've spoken to the issues as I was speaking. And then there was also the issue of prioritization of school sport, of which volleyball is one, but of the 16 codes being supported in school sport. And that presentation on prioritization of school sport is here, and which I can give a quick update of about 5 minutes to members about what we are now busy doing and the revision of the MOA. And I think that will speak to number two as a whole. But you would also recall that I was requested to provide written reports. We brought the presentations, but we will, I said to Sune, that we will give the wet reports, wet format reports to members as well by next week. But we were requested to also speak on a number of issues, just an update. The only presentation, I think, we have been asked to speak about the National Recreation Day, the Golden Games, the UNITE campaign, and provincial sport support and coordination, and the issue of school sport prioritization. The only thing that we think is of key critical importance to the committee, we have also been asked to speak about our active recreation portfolio and to indicate what programs we have in there, and which I can quickly just give a highlight. The only presentation we thought we need to share somewhat for about 10 minutes with the committee would be on the rural sport development program. And because this having been the first year of implementation, just to give you an outlook and to know what our plans are for next year. And that will take us like 10 minutes to do. But I will take guidance from the committee on how it wants to deal with the reports in this regard.
The president of the volleyball, can we give you this opportunity to thank you, that we're wishing you the best? I'm suspecting that we've deal with you, unless you want to hear from DG when he's talking about rural sport program, which is not your part, we are not part. Thank you so much. We are wishing you good luck. Would love when you sit down and look at how are you going to use the 10 million, and then the committee will call you to present that, as the DG is saying that it's still in papers and you know that you must use it for development. This committee wants to see your program, outline of doing that job. That's the only thing which is outstanding, which is that you must go and do it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. With other things that DG we are saying, we are not sure about. You have mentioned so many things that we have been asked. Maybe because we were in recess, we are not aware of. You mentioned so many things. Some we are not aware about those things that we are asked, but because we are here, we have prepared. It's a pity Umphumzi uyathanda ukulahleka. We have said Umphumzi and Usune, they must consult and communicate with the chairperson when they are seeing that, because they cannot just fold arms, but we must know what is on hand, what they wanted us as a committee to have information about it. They must first, the bus stop with the chairperson of the committee. So I want to remind themselves that I can't hear that so many things are being asked with department without my knowledge, in order that I must come to my committee members saying that in the next meeting we expect to do ABC. So we do appreciate initiative, but the bus stops with me. And I don't like what Umphumzi is doing. In and out. So these things remain maybe now with Sune, whilst we don't have content advice. So Usune is wanting to do everything. So, but we have asked the parliament that Umphumzi must assist. I'm not saying he is not, but when they are thinking about anything that they want a department to come and brief us, I must know, in order that in this meeting, I will be saying, in the next meeting, honorable members, we are expecting a department to come to do ABC. Thank you, DG.
It was a 5-year mandate on that, and we had implemented about 80% of the key tenets in there. The sticky issues, you know them. You have summoned us with basic education a number of times. We had last week had a joint headcom with basic education, where the HODs of sport and the HODs of basic education met in Bloemfontein with the two DGs to try pave way and resolve some of the key sticky issues. In summary, the issues of physical education as a standalone subject, the issue of the building of sport facilities in schools as per the norms and standards of basic education, and also the issues of policy, such as taking the powers away from the school governing bodies to give them to the Minister of Basic Education, of determination of sport policy, as well as the codes to be played in schools, are consent to be done. And also the issue of the revision of the General Education Amendment laws and the inputs we made to those laws in respect of inputting into them that school sport become compulsory and no longer optional in schools. And lastly, the issue of the support for code structures and the streamlining of championships. Those five key things are what now will constitute the core basis of what goes into our MOA. We have a draft MOA which we have canvassed with them, and secondly, we have also looked at with them and raised the issues of funding, because if you may recall, the last time they were here, they indicated that their funding for school sport right across the country was 508,000 rand, which is really nothing to be able to coordinate the second tournaments as well as the intra-school program. So to that extent, the new minister held a workshop to review the school sport program and has also prioritized this and has directed that we scale down on some of the programs and redirect the funding to support further school sport and to expand the ministerial sports bursary. We have begun with that work on our part, and we have also, as you know, reviewed our championship model. We are next year introducing for the first time, after a very long time, a tournament, an Olympic type of tournament across three seasons, which will be a peak. So this will not be the format we have been following all along, which was the top school format. So this time we look at talented youngsters from different schools in a specific circuit, and they go on to constitute that circuit team. They compete, and we take the best schools across circuits, and they make up the district thing and until national. So that is to ensure largely talent identification. We do that for 2 years, and in the year three, our championship ends up at provincial level with key camps for selection for the international schools tournament, and that those in the third year, we do not have a national championship. It ends at provinces, and the money for the national championship pays for the athletes selected at provincial camps to go compete internationally. And by year four, we go back to top schools format, and then year one starts again. The cycle has now been laid out in that way and has been adopted now both by the two headcoms of basic education and of sports. So that's what we are doing right now, and this is the process we are on it about, and we have prioritized school sport. This would mean, when we do the preliminary calculations, that our national budget on school sport will jump from the current 40% of the budget to about 48%. This is the current estimate. We would see after the normal application for vaiments with the Treasury happens, where does that put us budget-wise in terms of percentages. But for provinces, it will mean a jump of 50% of their expenditure on school sport to about 53% increase what we spent by diverting resources from the other programs. For instance, I can tell the committee now that the new minister has directed that we downscale the content of the sport awards and the prize money significantly downwards. And we have done so, but the categories have remained the same. And also the ceremony itself will be downgraded a little bit to divert resources to other key programs. That's what we are doing, and that's what will account for an increase in our percentage budget-wise on school sport processes. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Yes. No, but we appreciate what we are reporting to us. As this committee, whenever we're going, we do get this challenge of this MOU to basic education. So I'm suspecting members, they can comment, because this reviewing of MOU, we've been not happy, and especially some of us, these things of sport not compulsory. I'm appreciating. Honorable members, you want to comment? Honorable Bergman, Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Bev, Honorable Ralhom, in that order, honorable members.
Thanks very much. Just to say that I did get the invitation from the Minister for the National School Championships, and I'm not sure if it was the Minister or the letter, if it was the invitation or maybe the letter, the dates were wrong, because it said that there was prize giving on the Friday, and I arrived there and there was no prize giving. I've got a feeling it could have been from the minister's side because he sent out the invitation. I spoke to a few people at the stadium though, because they're having an Indian soccer tournament there as well. And they say that, you know, there could be greater interaction with the private sector in terms of sponsorship, in terms of trying to get involved in school sports, youth activities, that type of thing. And it just makes me wonder, you know, I still threaten that we must get to one of these national school championships. But in terms of the school oversights and whatever what we learn every time we go on an oversight, is basic education doesn't seem to account to us, and we seem to, you know, this committee itself, I'm not sure how often we've had it in our diaries to have a joint committee meeting, but I think maybe just looking at the progress reports and looking at this report, maybe it's time to have basic education in one of our meetings again. And we go through what's, you know, in terms of making everything that's called for in the target set, the compulsory physical education programs and what have you. So, yeah, just comments there.
Thank you, Honourable
Mchau. Thanks, Chair. Welcome to the presentation. I wanted to find out, are you still sticking to your timeline as per the schedule? And are you... For example, we are in August. Yeah, you've spoke of workshops that have been done. Are we just sticking to it? There's a question that I wanted to ask after your response.
Thank you, Honorable Song. Honorable Dev.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, mine also relates to the workshops. As the department managed to get through to all the for instance, the schools holding all these workshops with the SGBs and so forth, because you sometimes find that all goes well until the SGB gets up and say, we don't know. And then also want to say well done on cutting down on the cost, but still maintaining the awards, and I would suppose still maintaining the gala. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Bev.
Chair, my comment is around the physical education, and to just check with the DG, what is the take of the department? Are they prepared to make a review, particularly because at the moment the police is that physical education is part of this broader program, life orientation, and because we've been reluctant to can really push the review of their current policy, because the problem in South Africa is that we did away with physical education and then introduced life orientation, that everything started going down. Because once you've got physical education, I mean, throughout the world, where there is physical education, sports follow. Once you've got physical education in schools as a compulsory, you don't have to force you. Children will want to play something. That is why we've got a problem in South Africa, and that is coupled with the apartheid planning that was there before. So. What is the take of, I mean, honestly, DG, what do you think? Are they prepared to rethink that so that we can assist you? Because at the moment, we haven't made enough noise. Because when we make noise in our interaction with our colleagues in basic education, they simply say,
physical education is there, and it's compulsory, whereas they mean life orientation, because our problem, that is where our problem is, that physical education is part of life orientation, you see. So any school can say, no, we are doing life orientation. Whereas the life orientation is not equal to physical education. That is where our problem is. So we'll organize that we interact with our colleagues, basic education, like we did last time. We interact, particularly now that there is a review of a MOU. I think we'll have to see how do we ensure that we also interact with our colleagues. But it might be useful if we can confront the problem, because the problem is that there is life orientation, not physical education.
Honorable Manan.
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, I really appreciate that the physical education, it will be compulsory, and on the renewal of the MOU, since the department had a meeting, a workshop that were in May, I just want to check if the department did come across with some issues that raised by the Department of Basic Education about the issue of the physical education, that even teachers who wants to assist those learners who wants to participate in sports, because there was an involvement of the unions that they want to be paid overtime. What is their intake on that one? Because we all know that there is a cultural day that is a priority to all schools, if I'm not mistaken, because you find that they say today it's a cultural day. If you don't come wearing your cultural clothes, you have to pay so much money. But they don't prioritize the sports, that they must, maybe that Wednesday there must be a sports day. What did the department said about that? Did they come across with some issues raised on that one that involve the union about the sports?
Thank you, Honorable Manana. Honorable members, I must tell you that we were not able for a long time to call that joint meeting with basic education and our department, because we did put some measures that you want to see ABC. I'm happy now that they've met, but according to the schedule of our meeting, they've agreed that on the 12th of September, we'll be meeting the full day with the two departments. But thank you that we'll be meeting with them, that at least we have an info as we're speaking. Because in reality is that it's what just ODJ was telling us, that they've met, and he was emphasizing on what as a committee we've supported the Department of Sport according to the agreements of MOU, which has been not implemented for a long time. We're wishing that on that meeting of a full day on the 12th September, on what DG is reporting, I can say we'll be achieving some things, because whenever we're going, we're discovering that this issue of funding DG, it is not there. That's why you may find that so many things not happening at school because of the legal things that they are doing as basic education. There are questions, DG. I was just commenting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think first our apologies to Honorable Bergman for what happened. I think we would want to follow it up and see what exactly happened there. I would give feedback as to what transpired and make sure that we correct that and it doesn't happen again. But we'll make a follow-up. I will find out from the school support unit and the ministry what could have potentially happened in that regard. In as far as the issue of the timelines, yes, we are sticking to these timelines. We are quite vociferous, and even last time basic education wanted to postpone us, and we were quite forceful that we stick to the timelines, because here's our worry. We shouldn't arrive at the end of December this year and we do not have an MOA in place, and the old one has expired. So we're working, we took the time, we need a new MOA and worked backwards and said these are the things we need to work on until. Even now, it's us insisting. Basic Education's Office of the DG was telling us that for the joint MINMEC, their program for that MINMEC, because we sacrificed, we could have easily invited them to our own MINMEC. But we said in order to make it work for them, we will go when they are sitting. And they have a meeting in September. And that's why we put the alignment for that meeting in September. But they were telling us that their program is full and they can accommodate us. And so we fought with them to say, no. That meeting can't come and pass without us being there. Rather, they add one more day or do whatever it takes, or we're willing to meet them at night or very early in the morning. Whichever way it works for them, we are there. Even if they were to say we can meet them over their lunch, it's fine, but let's meet them and present the MOA and have it ready on time. I think that is our issue. We want to stick to those timelines, and we want to brief cabinet by January when we come back from the January cabinet, Lukhutla, to brief cabinet in the first cabinet to say this is our new MOA and this is what it says, so that we can meet the deadlines as such. So we are very much committed to this. If we fail, it will not be because we are uncommitted to the dates. It may be either by an act of God or by the reluctance of basic education that we do not meet the deadlines as such. Honorable Abrahams, on the issue of the SGBs, there are two main SGB bodies. I don't think it will be possible for us to meet each and every single SGB. There are 25,000 of them. It will not work, but we have to meet the associations of the SGBs. There is one that is predominantly dominated by historically white schools and Model C schools. We find them a little bit resisting, but we have asked for a briefing session with them and to discuss the issues, particularly the issues that will affect them, that we are pushing in the General Education Amendment laws, including the issue of taking the power of the SGBs away from them to the Minister of Higher Education. That consultation has to happen. Consultation does not necessarily mean consensus, but it means that when we finally make a decision, we must have listened to what everybody who's affected by the decision to be made would have said and would have applied our minds to what they have to say. But there is one that lacks capacity and is a bit disorganized. It has more schools in it and is led by historically black and township schools. So even among the associations of SGBs, they still reflect the associations of the past. So it is not a homogenic group or the consensus group. So we would meet both main associations. There are other smaller Nyana ones, like there is one of ISASA, of the independent schools. These are not state schools. These are private schools. And there is also one of the Catholic Diocese Schools Conference. They have their own association of SGBs along that because these are Catholic-run schools. Some of them are not state-owned, but they are state-aided. They receive small grant from the state, but it's not really, they are semi-private schools, if I can put it that way. All the small associations, we will also, those that really matter, particularly because the Anglican and Catholic schools, about 50% that produce 90% of all the Springboks you see on the schools. In 50% of those schools are Anglican and Catholic schools. You are St. John's and St. David's and all of those. So St. Stithians, you know them. So those schools are important from a sport point of view. So small as that SGBs may be, the associations, we also must meet them because they are quite critical in the sport landscape. So I think that's what we are targeting for September, to meet the SGBs and to meet the associations of SGBs to consult them. And then in as far as the issue of PE is concerned, Honorable Rarokoma, I can tell you that the attitudes in basic education are changing. There's a new DG there. He's very receptive and he's of the view that says no. Sport policy must be determined by the Department of Sport. And he also addressed his own HODs to say, listen, sport will tell us what we need to do, and let's help them do what they need to do. And so I think the attitudes are changing somewhat. But also, you would recall that in 2014, we did a run on the schools built on the ACD program. That year, 2014, 89 new schools were built on that program. And we wanted to see, because just in 2013, the norms and standards were gazetted with our inputs. After a lot of wrangling, former DG Bobisu Bryan finally agreed that they will add netball and football. So norms and standards say this is a school. A school must have 12 classrooms minimum. It must have ablution facilities. For every 50 children, it must have one toilet and so on and so on. And it must have this, it must have that. The toilets must have basins, running water. All those things are written in the norms. It will say the school must have a kitchen for feeding school. It must have a library. It must have a science blog. It must have this, that. But before, those norms were very silent. They were not saying anything about sport. They were not saying a school will also have, they'll say it will have a school hall, but they say nothing about sport facilities. And after we fought with them, Bobby said, no, look, DG, we can't have all 16 courts at once. We don't have money for it. And anyway, Treasury is not giving us more money to add these things you say. I said, well, change your norms. Don't say a school has 12 classrooms. Say it has 10 and take the money for the other two classrooms and build sport facilities. So we were not willing to budge about it. But finally, they relented and said, okay, let's start with two. And those two, netball and football. So after they gazetted that in 2013, the first year in which that was supposed to be implemented was 2014. And at the end of the 2014 school building program, we did an assessment. We visited all the 89 schools that were built on the ACD program. And we found that only 13 of those were built with facilities, sport facilities. The others were not built, and we raised a huge concern about it. But I can tell you that we also did another run early this year. We finished the report in February. We wanted to see the 2015 process after we fought with basic education. Now, I can tell you that the schools, it's only two schools out of 27 that were built last year, which didn't have facilities. It's improving. And in fact, there is a school in Cullinan which the DM went to open with the Deputy Minister of Basic Education. In that school, they have done much more than what we are asking. We were quite impressed, and that was the last school they built for last year. They did even flood lights, which are solar powered, so that, and they opened another gate. They designed it in such a manner that the schoolyard finishes here. There's a gate from the schoolyard into the sport precinct of the thing, and there's another gate in that side for the community to use after hours and after school and even at night. And they built more than what we asked. They also built other toilets there at the sport grounds for children to use there. And they also built, they did grandstands, things that we never asked for. But they did all of those type of things. And we were very happy. And that's why I'm saying that the attitudes are changing. They are changing slow, but they are there. And I think gradually basic education will no longer be a problem. but SATU would remain as a challenge. And we need to resolve that issue because right now our current minister is a former secretary of SATU. The current DG of Basic Education is a former national executive member of SATU. And the relations are warmer. And even now, the current DG has arranged for a meeting between ourselves and Mugwena Maluleke, the current Secretary General of SATU. We are discussing, and we have already had a teleconference. He is warm and receptive to the idea. We are already discussing around the idea of them giving, or SATU voluntarily giving and mandating its members to give 3 hours a week to do sport and physical education. This is now outside the curriculum. But what is the real problem and what are the issues raised by DBE, Honorable Manana? The concern is this, is that they say every minister of basic education who has ever come has been tampering with the curriculum. And there is a curriculum fatigue, and SATU says no. When do we get the opportunity for teachers to be taught on these things and to be refreshed on these things and to be prepared to teach this thing? And after they've just been trained, the curriculum changes again, and they now must... So the curriculum development process has, you know, changed so often that it has irritated the stakeholders in education. And now there is so-called curriculum fatigue. You know, no one wants to tamper with the curriculum anymore. And they are saying, once you open it up just to for life orientation and you want to tamper with that, you have opened the floodgates for everybody else who wants their own things to add them in. And because you can't open the process and say, I'm reviewing curriculum, but we're only reviewing this portion. You can't talk about it. If you open it, you must open, and then the NGOs, everybody are going to come. And so now we are trying to find creative ways of circumventing the opening of the full curriculum, which is the most ideal solution. Because the most ideal solution is simply to make physical education a standalone. And then you have answered a lot of things, because those physical education teachers, I can promise you, they are naturally going to be the champions for sport. Wednesdays, they are going to get those kids to play sport. And they will not just make them do physical activities during the week and during the periods. Wednesdays, they will make them. They will become themselves coaches. They would want to better themselves. They would want to do this. And they will be the first ones to raise their hands and say, train me, you know. And then we have something going once we have that. But that's our best price to have. But right now, it doesn't appear that we would have. So we have to at least to make sure that the schools start and they start playing. We must then encourage that whatever SATU now offers to say, look, this is an agreement between SATU Basic Education and Sport. Let's give you 3 hours a week. Let's start 1 hour to physical education, 2 hours to sport. Let's do that. We will welcome that because we don't have that now. And at least if the schools can start, maybe going forward, then when the window for curriculum change opens, we will be forceful about that. So I think that's where we are about it. And Chair, the funding issue is a big issue. We have put it on the table. The joint MINMAC must endorse that. We were very vociferous about it, that there's no way we're going to accept that they go on without budgeting. Because then how do they do the second tournaments and all of those things if they continuously not? Then the complaints we have that the championship starts only at a district level. And my question to the HODs of sport was simple. How do you select, how do you get these teams? Basic education, where has it gotten them from? When they come to play your district, who did they compete against? Or did you simply just pick and choose the schools? Because even in Gauteng, we saw that thing. Gauteng knows Waterkloof plays in the Isasa League, and they don't want to play the government league. And then they go on. When they reach their provincials, they get eliminated. And then Waterkloof, because he's stronger than Kayakulu High School and so on, they come this side now, the government thing. In the provincial tournament, Kayakulu had won. But we know that if Kayakulu plays against Waterkloof, it's never going to see the light of day. And all of a sudden now Waterkloof is interested. And Waterkloof has never competed at a district or anywhere. They just now register them for the national tournament. And then they come there and they beat up all our black schools. And then they are the winner this side. But they were the weakest link that side. So we are now doing verifications. We are sending SRSA managers to the district as well as the provincial tournaments to insist that those that have won this league, this side, are the ones that come to the national championship. And, you know, with that system, it has now forced Rustenburg, Kuur School, Waterkloof, all of them to participate.
You also find them, there's camps and they play here tonight. And then there is a league match also in Klagsdorf. And then they meet Pretoria to go play in Klagsdorf. And then they come back the following day to continue. We have seen that their committees will be lined up because they don't want to lose the opportunity of either playing this side or that side. But that's where we have gone about it. But I don't think the funding will improve quite significantly now. But we are putting pressure, and we're insisting that they improve the budget. And we hope they are being met with our, that they increase their budget significantly. The treasury is already told that there will be no new money. So they have to find money from within their existing resources and channel it towards school sports. So that will be the answer.
Somebody who is just hiding. I'm seeing somebody who is hiding.
You talk about your work and the relationship. Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you for the opportunity to say something. I'm Simpio Mnube. I mainly work on Federation support. However, I do many other programs in the department as a leader, where the pressures are, we want to chip in and do the work.
I'm appreciating what you are saying. Honorable members, can I take this opportunity to thank that this department that you are supporting, we have got several meetings with basic education. And we were even thinking that maybe they will be thinking that you are trying to change their policy as this COVID, because we're worried about the way that they are doing things. Please tell us when time comes on that window period, in order that we must also support you through that committee that we must sit with them. And they do get a big stake of the budget of the country. But we can't accept this thing that they are very casual on this MOU. They are very casual, but they are promising that we are trying now to get there. In the province where I'm coming from, their acid school, there are so many, they were launching them every week and every month. Please check with us that what they are saying is it in place, because we can't have money to go all over as a committee. We are better off of us to check in each and every province what they've done, as we are saying that they have paid visits. By this, we are thinking, you, DG, honorable members, first said you are having a memorial service. If you don't mind, let's defer everything that is in front of us. I'll just get this now. And note that 12th we have is it in Old Assembly? The memorial service. So I'm suspecting that we all want to be there. If you don't mind, let me adjourn this meeting, saying thank you for your contribution. I want to there are announcements. DG, there's something here that I've seen given just now. 3 to 4 October, Safricon in Potchefstroom. Well, there is that invitation. Honorable members, can we that I must speak with the office, try to check, as this committee will be not allowed to attend anything of the nature. We are struggling. We are not crying babies because we cannot fund the SE department. But there are so many things that are very important and that sometimes it's even useless to read invitations. I've asked this honorable member and the old member of this committee that they must present myself to the House Chairperson. I know why, because I can fight, but I don't want to fight. I want that they must go and pursue it, and will be giving them the list of other committees that are going out. Since we have came, we'll never take any other oversight, Africa or international, because they have said no ways. But if I can tell you, DG, through my members, this is the only committee, maybe some, but we are amongst those committees. So many things that it's so interesting that we must go and do oversight, let alone other things that happened when we're supposed to go. But in reality is that we want to be part of so many things that are done by our entities, our department, because for instance, we are being invited in Iloto Indaba 20 to 22nd September Gospel. Once attend, I don't know now. So I'm asking, with due respect, you know I'm your chairperson. With due respect, I don't want to include you, Mhlongo, because we do what I was going to do. So I want to ask, with your permission, Honorable Strike, Honorable Musi, we have been here. This committee has been attending things. So just this week and next week, when we're coming back, whenever, we want a report back. Why are we not attending anything with this committee? By those words, thank you so much, DG. And we appreciate that we have so many people that they can do as women. Women who are doing everything, unlike men. But now I'm seeing one man that is joining women. The meeting is on his agenda.